Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Good morning. I'm Michelle Martin. Today, we'll look at stocks in the news, the state of the semiconductor industry, and we're going to chat with David Chow, director of Azure Capital, to help us figure out what's really going on behind the headlines. David, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Michelle. Hi, good morning to all listeners.
Good of you to join us. So, David, what do you think is going to define investor interest this week? The Federal Reserve meeting Tuesday, Wednesday, they're not expected to take any action when it comes to interest rates. But do you think that we can expect to see more volatility when it comes to bond yields and that this could in turn make it difficult for growth stocks, big tech, to gain traction?
Definitely, you know, with the 10-year treasury yields closing last week, at 1.62%, which is the highest weekly close for 13 months. Mm. You know, with the driver, being the official passing through Congress of the $1.9 trillion stimulus package from the Biden administration, I feel that, perhaps the Fed could perhaps have some explanation to do when it meets on Wednesday. Mm. How can it remain silent on bond yields when this is the market theme for global financial market right now? So for that, I do expect the emerging market stocks to be volatile as a result of the breach of the 1.6% in U.S. Treasury yields. So while many have attributed the rise in yields to a recovering economy, we are seeing our U.S. employment growth figures being very strong in February. We feel that perhaps there's still plenty of spare capacity in the U.S. economy, and it remains to be seen if Biden's stimulus plan will be a long-term job creator. So overall, as we lead up to this important Fed meeting on Wednesday, the markets are likely to remain in a pause mode. We don't expect any big moves ahead of the Fed meeting on Wednesday, so we will see what happens then.
Right, so the market expected to take its cues from that meeting then, and we'll have a bit more clarity after Tuesday, Wednesday. Let's come back to home in terms of stocks to watch. Definitely Aztec Global was in the news. I wonder what you make of the company. Let's start with that question. What do you make of Aztec Global?
Okay, for Aztec Global, it's actually no stranger to an IPO listing. It's good to see Aztec back after a long absence, really. For long-term investors in the Singapore market, for some of these investors, they will have remembered that Aztec Group was actually listed on SASDAQ on 23rd February 1994. Mm. And subsequently, the company actually upgraded itself to the SGX main board 12 years later. So during this listing period, the previous listing period, it actually ventured into areas of multimedia telecommunication devices, launched its own portfolio of networking products, and expanded its data communication business. Unfortunately, as a result of low trading liquidity, it was privatized in 2017. And coming to the present Aztec Global IPO, I remember, the book building exercise for this IPO was multiple times subscribed, and it was predominantly driven by a mix of high quality global and regional long only funds, multi-strategy investors, your family officers, and there were about 18 of them. So it's a very, very strong demand for Aztec Global. But unfortunately, as of last Friday, it actually had a very weak debut, closing just 1 cent above its IPO price of 1.28 on very heavy volume. So, I can attribute this poor performance on its debut as profit-taking and perhaps nervousness about lower Nasdaq futures, taking place at that time. So these two elements probably contributed to its poor IPO performance on its debut. If I look at the IPO price of 1.28 cents, in terms of valuation, this would be around 12.8 times your FY21 price earnings. And if I compare this 12.8 times to its peers in the same industry, they are trading about 13 to 16 times FY21 price to earnings ratio. So it's cheaper on that note. And if we just, look at the big brother in the industry, which is Venture, it's actually trading at 18 times FY21 price earnings. So I'm not saying that Aztec will be trading up to 18 times in the short term from its current 12.8 times. Mm-hmm. But this valuation discrepancy is something, you know, I guess investors should be mindful of.
Great insight there. Let's look at Jardine Matheson Holdings and Jardine Strategic Holdings. Now, both reported full-year net losses for 12 months, ended December 31st, 2020. Jardine Matheson Holdings reversing to a net loss of some $394 million compared to net profit of $2.84 billion a year ago. Prior to both announcements, of course, we saw shares of Jardine Matheson Holdings actually closing up about 1.3%, shares of Jardine Strategic Holdings closing at 0.05 of a dollar or 0.2% higher. Let's back up a little bit and talk about Jardine Matheson Holdings and the takeover. What do you think of the deal? The markets clearly loved it at when the news broke. But some analysts have been writing that the offer price for Jardine Strategic is some 20 to 30% below its net asset value. What do you think?
Okay, I guess for a start, the market definitely loves this news, as you know, the price of the entire Jardine Matheson stable of companies, you know, have been, of course, heading down last year because of the COVID pandemic. Mm. And, you know, one of the rationale for this takeover of Jardine Strategic is, of course, a clean up of its corporate structure.
Yes.
So I think on that note alone, it's enough to generate positive sentiment towards Jardine Matheson and its associated companies, and, you know, hence the run-up in their share prices. I remember, you know, Jardine Strategic and Jardine Matheson, after the news was announced, the share prices actually went up to its 52 weeks high, respectively, for both companies. So this is definitely good news for investors who are invested in these companies. So on the other hand, coming to the analyst expectations of its offer price, I have to admit that on this note, I am siding with the analyst because in my estimation, you know, Jardine Strategic valuation would be around, I would say, $45.50. So this is comparing to the offer price of $33. This is perhaps, you know, an 18% discount. So I think on that note, it's definitely underpriced in my view. So if you look at, you know, the companies that Jardine Strategic owns, it actually owns about 50% of Hong Kong land, around 78% of dairy farm, 80% of Mandarin Oriental, and around 75% for Jardine Cycle and Carriage. So, you know, with this targeted simplified corporate structure, I do feel that, you know, it could prompt shares of these companies to inch up. And if the stock market continues to rally on vaccine hopes, this will also buoy these companies further. And, you know, and for that, I just feel that, you know, the prices is just it's just a bit too undervalued in my opinion, and offer price could definitely go up higher.
Okay, we'll come back, take a look at the real-time prices of Jardine Matheson and Jardine Strategic Holdings in just a while. Meanwhile, we switch gears and we look at the semiconductor shortage. There is a global semiconductor chip shortage, and that has had a knock-on effect on the worldwide production of all sorts of goods, from Ford trucks to PlayStations by Sony to iPhones. So global semiconductor shortage doesn't look like it's going to go away anytime soon. There's been an executive order from President Joe Biden to call for a review of the supply chains for critical products. So again, spotlight falling on semiconductor, particularly U.S. semiconductor manufacturing capacity over in the U.S. Let's turn to you now, David. If we looked at the best semiconductor stocks to invest in for this year, 2021, I wonder what comes to mind.
Okay, one thing that will come to my mind is your semiconductors, such as in the space of memory chips, such as your DRAM and your NAND. They are facing actually tight supply situation, you know, amid increasing demand coming from, you know, your expanding data traffic led by AI and cloud services, which was, of course, accelerated by the COVID-19 outbreak, and I mean, you are right, coupled with the semiconductors capacity, the need for increased supply amid an increasing demand, this will of course benefit foundry companies like Taiwan's TSMC. You know, in the memory space, we are looking at memory providers such as Micron, SK Hynix. They are now having a very decent fundamental backdrop, which will, I guess, would support their share prices further. And if you are looking at your pure Singapore plays here in Singapore to this theme, well, you could perhaps look at companies like UMS Holdings, Franken, or AEM. And I mean, they will also be echoing the same facts that, you know, semiconductors are currently in short supply right now. So for investors who are not very familiar with UMS, you know, UMS, you dash of precision engineering and assembly for front-end semiconductor equipment manufacturers. And I mean, for investors, you could also look at the very popular AEM, which is, of course, the semiconductor back-end equipment manufacturer.
Okay, and in terms of geographical weightage, we know the U.S. share of global semiconductor fabrication is only 12%. It was once almost 40% back in 1990. So in terms of geographical weightage, is it important to include U.S. companies if you're looking at semiconductor stocks?
Okay, for that, I would actually say it's good to hold a basket of semiconductor stocks. And I mean, for the U.S., you can't really discount the U.S. on that aspect, since it's still the a manufacturing powerhouse as well as technology leader. So I mean, stocks like Intel should continue to gain traction on this very positive fundamental backdrop.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your insights, David. Great speaking with you.
Thank you, Michelle.
All right, from Azure Capital, joining us live here on Money and Me, David Chow, Director of Azure Capital.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.